I was thinking about how to use one message, just one message, to cover what I have learned in the past 5 years in BTS. It's very difficult, right? So finally, I found it, this passage. So even though now for courses, it's called love. Every class I taught in the past five years was full of love. So thank you all my lecturers and the classmates. So this passage, I think this scripture is very familiar to every one of you. I think it is often used at the weddings. The pastor, sorry, Dr. Gary, keep it. Oh, okay. So, okay, let me try. Okay, I'll repeat my sentence again. So this scripture is very familiar to everyone. It is often used at the weddings. Okay. So the pastor reads the scripture with blessings, hoping the new couple can treat each other patiently and kindly in their matrimony. There is nothing wrong with them. But according to the context of these verses, it is more about the conditions of the Corinthian church. To the text, the question we may ask, what attitude should we toward treating brothers and sisters around us, especially when everyone's gifts, personalities, and even cultural background are different? So the city of Corinth was densely populated and commercial advanced, attracting people from different races and regions. So the people in the church may also be diverse. When these people gather to serve God, conflict will inevitably happen. So people may have different opinions and perspectives on church ministry and using gifts. So in chapter 12, Paul first talk about the principle of spiritual gifts. So the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts to people just as his will. So the purpose is to build the church and benefit people. In verse 8 to 11 and verse 28, Paul introduced different gifts here. For example, the gifts of teaching, preaching, healing, helping, guidance, having a big faith, different kinds of tongues, and so on. So how to use these gifts to serve the church? Paul then gives a very vivid metaphor. Then the church is like a body. The body's organs have different functions, just like the church is functioned by different gifts. So every organ is essential to the body because the pain in one organ causes pain in the whole body. Likewise, the gift is equally significant to the church building and setting. There's no higher or lower gift, but in the church ministry and service, it is inevitable to emphasize the importance of some gifts while ignoring the importance of others. So link to the chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. I think those four gifts were very popular and representative of the church, which is speaking in tongues, gift of a prophecy, and have a faith, give all our possessors to the poor. So Paul say here, if you speak in the tongue to male angels, but do not have love, you are only a surrounding God, a trembling symbol. That means if you do not have love, you have this gift, you just as a truth. You know, truths are not alive. So, you know, nowadays, maybe ChatGPT is better than that. Because just as the two, I think the verse two, the gift of a prophecy also have a big faith. Wow, congratulations, you have the two big gifts, the super gifts. So you're serving in the church, people might think you are a big shock. People like you, maybe respect you because you have the gifts, right? But Paul said here, well, if you don't have love, you are nothing. And verse 3, you give all the possession to the poor, but maybe you think you can get something from heaven. But Paul said here, again, if you don't have love, you gain nothing. So don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean those gifts are not important. They are important. There is a condition. But do not have love. Those gifts are nothing. You get nothing. So what is a love? Why love is so important? So Paul, in verse 4 to 7, talk about the attributes of love. So the attribute about the 12 items here, so are classified into two categories. One is positive description, the negative description. The positive description talk about what is love, what love is. Love is patient, love is kind, rejoicing the truth. It's not the proud, thinking, easily anger, does not envy, boast, dishonor others, keep a record of wrongs, delight in evil. So I will not elaborate each one of them because I think I still learning in this process. Maybe I'm unqualified to teach you how to be patient, to be kind. Maybe I can show you what is pride, what is self-thinking. I'm just kidding. So now I will invite you to reflect with me to those questions. Are you patient enough? Okay, maybe you are patient. My question is here, are you patient enough? We are not perfect, right? We are not perfect. Are you patient enough? Are you kind enough? Are you proud? Are you proud of yourself? Okay, maybe I'll use another word, it's more accurate. Arrogant, conceited. You feel yourself is superior. Sometimes I am, honestly. Sometimes I am. Are you self-thinking? That means you only focus on yourself, about your interests, your benefits. What do you gain? What do you lose? Are you easily angry? Do you envy others? Are you envious of the people around you? Especially when you see the people is so blessed by God. Maybe the person have all the things you want. Possessions, beautiful marriage, wonderful marriage, family. All the things you want. Then you will compare with those people. Why I don't have God? You will ask, right? Are you envious in this sense? Are you boast about yourself? Am I handsome? Am I educated? Am I handsome enough? How educated I am? How much money I have? Those conditions you may boast, right? According to yourself, yourself. Do you keep a record of wrongs? Oh, the people hurt me 10 years ago. I still remember. When I recall what happened on the day, I cannot forget. That was very hurtful. How can I forget? God cannot forget, right? Do you delight in evil? I think all of you know What's an evil thing about? Do you rejoice with the truth? Do you rejoice with the truth? So, you know, for a long time, I didn't believe in any of our psychological theories and concepts. So, Mr. Lin, I like you. I'm enjoying your class. But you see how arrogant I am, right? So, okay, I think most of you have, I want to ask this question. Have you examined your personality before through the text? It's like a 16 personality. I did it before 2 years ago. Recently, I did it again. The result is the same. The result is same. I'm a debater. I'm a debater. My personality type is a ENTP. So you know what are the weaknesses of this type of a personality? Very argumentative, insensitive, intolerant. Maybe I can read out the one or two statement of them. Very argumentative. If there are anything debaters enjoy, it is mental exercise of debating an idea, and nothing is scared. More concerns as oriented personality types rarely appreciate the vigor with which debater personalities tear down their beliefs and methods, leading to a great deal of tension. Insensitive. Being so rational, debaters often misjudge other feelings and push their debates way past others' tolerance levels. People with this personality type don't really consider emotional points to be valid in such debates either, which magnify this issue tremendously. So when I think about that, am I really in link with those statements? I am. Am I argumentative? Am I insensitive? Am I intolerant? I am. So you see, the attribute of love could be more and more. It's not limited by the 12 items. There could be more and more, because the 12 attributes of love just correspond to the church. You can reflection yourself who you are, where you are. What's your weakness or strength? About how to love people. Maybe we can think about that. That's just my type, just my personalities, and maybe my weakness. The thing I realize that I need to improve. Maybe those things. So maybe you will ask this question: how to love? Is there a way to reach the attributes of love that Paul described here above? I think Paul also gives the answers. That is, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Always persevere. I think maybe we think it's possible, right? It's impossible. Always. Paul used the word always. Can you always trust people? Can you always keep hopes? You think like impossible, right? But I told you, this is the only way to reach the love. You know, recently I had the chance to talk to a businesswoman. So I asked her this question. I said, why are you so successful in your business? He responded to me. He gives me this verse: it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So I was shocked. I think, what, are you kidding me? So as a businesswoman, you know, how can you always trust and bear people? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Because I thought that as a businesswoman, you should be astute and use some strategy. Otherwise, you cannot survive in this industry, right? So she responded to me, it depends on who you want to be. So he said that this is a journey, and in this journey, you should always protect and always trust, always hope, and always persevere. You cannot choose people with who you want to cooperate and trust. In this way, you will lose the possibility of success. Even though people will hurt you, people will deceive you and betray you. Sometimes you will feel hurt and disappointed, but you must still trust, persevere, hope, and love people. Don't go against your conscience and do things that don't please God because of a circumstance. So I got a very, very valuable lesson from her. Now I know why she's successful because, not because of her business, because of his attitude, herself, and the person. Actually, this verse it works in every situation, regardless of what are you doing now, whether in business, in church ministry, whatever the situation you're doing, it works. So before I end my sermon, I want to play the video as my ending part of my sermon today. Thank you.